and shall we just bow our heads while we stand to speak to our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be tonight for this privilege that we have of gathering here, this lovely big Philadelphian church, to meet this big group of worshipers and our dear beloved pastor, Brother Jose, and many, and good evening, great Philadelphia church, and all of its members and staff workers. And it's certainly a privilege for me to be here tonight to speak to you in this church. And very warm, but that's what we like, a warm meeting. Nothing like one. Thanks to our dear beloved brother for the token of welcome here also, for the flowers that was given to brother and I. There's, you know, flowers preach sermons. Did you know that? That's right. It's an expression of love, what flowers is. But they preach a sermon too because there's something that God has made, and they're beautiful. Now, I was at Indianapolis last week, and the Lord was met with us there with a wonderful meeting. And your dear pastor, who is always such a close bosom friend to me, you know, he loves me when he knows I'm wrong. That's what makes him such a good friend. No matter, a lot of times I say, Joseph, I wish I could do that, my brother, but you can't do it. And some things it's really legitimate, and don't make any difference what you have to do. Joseph don't care. He's just all right anyhow. You know, anybody can be your friend when you're in the right, but when you're in the wrong and you kill your friend, that's a real friend. I remember it used to have a little poem in school. Many of you my age can remember that, I suppose. I don't get just the last part of something about a man of words and not of deeds is like a garden full of weeds, something on that order. And dry weather friend is very manly, but real friends that stick it close to the brother, they're appreciated and very, very finely appreciated, highly appreciated. Now, we're on our road tonight to leave in the morning real early, about to break a day if we got some of the hot weather, to Minneapolis. The Christian Businessman's Breakfast is Saturday morning at the Legion Hotel. There were to meet several delegations, some from down in the place where Brother Joseph didn't want me to go for a long time. They got a delegation coming there from Egypt to find out about meetings in Egypt, and then from the, I believe, another group of got the YMCA to have a delegation meet there from non-Pentecostal ministers of greater Minneapolis and many other different things. And the meeting is going to be a very strange one as far as advertisement. Where no one's advertised to speak, well, I have the breakfast, but all the rest of it is just to be the way the Holy Spirit leads. As for Mr. Roberts, Tommy Hicks, and many of the other wonderful brethren that's on the field, just to sit in the meeting and what the Holy Ghost says, you go do it. I think that ought to be pretty good, don't you? I just think that's right. Just the formal out of it, and let God have a chance one time to say what He wants to say. We preachers always saying what we got to say, then let the Lord have a chance to say it. And our good friends from South Africa, they say, will be there also. I understand they may be here in a meeting tonight. Tomorrow night. They're to be here tomorrow night. These men, I met one of them, which set up, I believe, the Johannesburg meeting or the Durban meeting. A very fine brother. And so I understand one of the greatest among the influential speakers. And if they're to speak here tomorrow night, it would behoove all of Chicago that can pack this little place in to be here tomorrow night. You hear? They got pictures. I don't know whether they'll be showing those or not. They got the pictures of some of the Zulu tribes and the heathen rays and many of those things which would be very interesting in meeting these brethren. And that's tomorrow night, is it, Brother George? My, I'm sorry.
I want to introduce to you the Massarino family. Will you stand up? That's Brother and Sister Massarino and family. They are all in your system. And you call them with me this week. They are from Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, that's very fine. So brother, sister, and Serena and family, we're certainly glad I am to have you here and all along with this congregation. I was a little late getting in tonight, but some minister introduced me to United Brethren Church the other night and said, "Friends, the late Mr. Brown." I said, "That's right." I said, "I was even about 2 hours late from a wedding. I thought it would just be a few years late from a funeral. Well, it would be all right." So I had to hurry, but I got to hear one of the songs. I believe the doors parted away open when I was in the pastor's study of Onward Christian Soldiers. And I tell you, that was really wonderful. And I've heard much of them. I'm sure you'll be enjoying their music. Everybody knows what I told you to look for me in heaven, didn't I? Well, the river of life comes out from under the throne of God. It comes down, turns the bend, and goes down this way toward Glory Avenue, just where it turns. Well, all the angelic choir and musicians are all be over on that hill, singing and playing their harps. And over on this side of the hill, I hope there's a little tree so I can just lean back against it and soak it in. I can really get enough of it. I really love singing and music. I know we all do. How many know what the order of battle is for the Lord? You know what the first thing went before the battle? Singers and musicians went forth singing. Not weeping and wailing. They went forth singing. Then after that come the Ark of the Covenant. So we went before the Ark. Then after that come the fighters. So that's a good thing. It's a very scriptural order for a religious service. The first thing, the music, then the word, then the battle. So it's all ordered of the Lord. Hear these brethren. And now, pray for me much, if you will. I've got some real vital decisions to make at Minneapolis. The future plans for meetings. And I certainly ask. Yeah, I believe I'm kind of secondarily associate pastor here. Is that right? Yeah, so I asked my church to pray for me. I read John Wesley said that the whole world was in perish. Is that right? So that's the way it is. I feel that you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I certainly appreciate the time of fellowship with each and every one of you. Now, I love the Word so well. I just love to talk on it. And tonight, I thought maybe it would be appropriate for just a little while, being hot, and that we just have a good old-fashioned Sunday school lesson on Thursday night. Wouldn't you like that? Just to teach a little from the Word. I like Sunday school, and I like the teaching of the Word. And coming fast and had to hurry, I didn't get a chance to look over and think. So when I went into study, I happened to come over to this scripture. And all of you have Bibles, let's turn over now to the book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter to begin with. Very beautiful setting here for a great teachings of the Lord. The book of Hebrews was to the Jews separating law from grace, as Paul wrote to them here. There have been many disputes in the church whether they should eat meat or whether they should associate with the Gentiles. And I think Paul writing this epistle here to the Hebrews is one of the most outstanding letters in the book. It's, to me, it's great because it's showing the law of, and grace. It's separating the two. And now, may the Lord add his blessings to his word and come and visit with us. And now, be much in prayer as we go to try to teach. I'm not a teacher, and my gift in the church is praying for the sick. And say, by the way, we're talking of that. How many of us go to the Indianapolis meeting? You remember the, I believe you said the last night, a mute girl or something or other? How many remember his little Rosella, what is her last name? The alcoholic was Griffin? Griffin, is she here tonight, Rosella? She's from Joliet. And Rosella, she called me a couple nights after that, and I believe she either taken the girl from the music school there or was with her while she was there. The girl was born deaf and dumb, never heard or spoke a sound in her life, and the Lord Jesus gave her a perfect hearing speech right at the platform before most 10,000 people. Isn't he wonderful? And now the...
I'd like to ask you, Brother Brown, yes, that when we were in Indianapolis now, there came a man up to me as well as the lady. The lady may be here tonight. I'm not sure. That's probably left from Minnesota. But this man, he had a cancer, a big cancer on his back. And he called me in Indianapolis. He said, before I reached the railroad station, the cancer had disappeared.
I got a letter of that in my office.
I'm
glad.
And then there was a lady. I know her very well. In fact, she's a member here in the church, but she lives in Embarrass, Minnesota. And she had a big tumor. And she came up right on the platform. And she told me this in Indianapolis. She said, on the way home, the whole thing broke and everything came up. And she said, if I hadn't bothered with it, I wouldn't have had a mark, but I should help God a little bit to have a little mark after.
Yes, sir. Isn't he wonderful? I really believe that the people are just now beginning to understand what I've been trying to tell them for many years about this healing. The man of God picked up one of the letters as a pastor office, and he was sitting there. He had a paralyzed arm and his hands would go down until his fingers, he couldn't even move them up to trim the nails from him anymore. They were hurting into his hand. He had to have surgery to cut them out. And he said that while he was sitting there, he said, I'll send you a picture, Brother Branham, both before and after, and said, I just caught the idea. Something happened in Indianapolis that had never happened before. After going through a long prayer line, just weak enough that I could hardly move, then all of a sudden, something picked up. And I looked up here, and there was a vision of people kind of streaming down the line. And you in Indianapolis know this. Hundreds times hundreds circled down to that altar and gave their life to Christ. He said he was sitting there like that. He said, you know, I now understand what the man's talking about. And he began to feel something tingling and burning in his hands. And it was his fingers just coming open like that. And it was funny times. He was healed. And see, on the road, the man said he had the cancer on his back, and it just went away. The people just now beginning to see. They're being used to laying on hands and having water, holy water, or something on you, or something. Well, that's all right. But that's secondarily.
Right.
The initial way and the right way is just like you receive the Holy Ghost. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on unto her. They were ready. And it's massive healing. It's not great long war out there on. It's right now the presence of the angels of God and the Holy Ghost that brings perfect deliverance for anyone. The world's got to be evangelized all at once. We've got to go. Two-thirds of the world never even heard of Christ. And we've got to hurry and do it. You don't have time to bring up hundreds and out and tomorrow night all the war out. It's just right now the whole group stood in massive. And in Africa, there were 25,000 healings in one prayer. Think of it. And the other night on the platform, I don't want to start this testimony, so I better switch to the word quickly. But that you might know why all my heart, these brethren coming tomorrow night, very soon, I've been feeling to go to Africa. Difficult has rolled, not because of myself, but others that's connected with me, as Brother Jose understands. I was coming, dedicating a church, and some of them come up and said, Brother Branham wants to have a little prayer line. I said, well, brother, I sure will. I said, I can pray for the sick. There's many of those churches, see about 200 people. A little brother just come out of great tribulations and or drunk or drive and got saved and went away to the Church of God and was dedicating a wonderful little church. The name of Tash, Junior Tash of Charleston, Indiana. Someone came out and said, what do you mean? He said, I got a church that seats nearly 1,500 people, and I heard the telephone, and here you are back here, and you didn't come to my church, and here you are back here in the swamp, there was a little brick structure, a concrete, and sticking sideways in. I said, you don't need help, he does. That's the one that needs help. And in the line coming down, just praying for the sick, I seen a girl, a colored girl. And we know the dark race of people, the colored people, come, their native home is Africa. Just like the yellow man is from China, the Anglo-Saxon from Ireland, England, so forth, Sweden. When they separated from Eden or from Babylon, some of them went down into hot countries and some went in neutral countries and some went in way up in the north and some was bleached white, and some got brown, and some yellow, some black, but they're all of one blood and That was Adam. God of one blood made all nations. Each man, the black man, the yellow man, the brown man, the white man, but the plasma from the blood is all the same. Just the same. It's just the way the climate colors the people. And then going, seeing the time coming close when that a vision wrote in the back of the Bible, they're going to Africa. They brought this young Ethiopian girl, and as she was coming up, I noticed she was swinging her leg, and she was kind of what we call kind of a slim, thin girl, about 15, real skinny, well-dressed little lady. But I noticed the work in her mouth. I guess I got the tears running down her cheeks. Well, I wonder what's the matter with that child. Well, when Mr. Carroll came to the platform, her mother was behind her. He said, Brother Brandon, the girl has a severed nerve from an automobile accident that bursted or something other, the nerve that from her hearing and speech. She'll never speak or hear again. And said, it was an automobile accident. And said, and doing so, it also done some other nerve that the doctor had to tie up, which makes her, with her legs like that, is stiff in her side. Well, I said, that's still too bad for kid. My heart rolled out for her. And I said, bring her here and let me pray for her. So as she was coming, I looked up over the top of that girl's head. No visions had come. There was that tall grass, little mounds of anthills and things like typical of South Africa. The grass, the waving, I can hear the wind blowing even. I know something has taken place. That left me. I didn't know what to say. I stood there a few moments. I said, now, friends, I want to make this clear. I just saw come before me a vision for Africa. I said, perhaps maybe somebody's on the road here, or maybe he wants me to go over. It's time for the vision to be fulfilled, which will be exceedingly greater than the other one. And so, then I said, Heavenly Father, we don't see signs. How many know what keeps us as a sign? A weak and adulterous generation. Is that right? We don't want to be classed like that. But I said, we're not, but yet you give time. And I'm asking you again, I pray you wanted to know what about going and so forth, when to go and so forth. But now, if this girl saying when a vision has broke, if you want me to be ready to prepare for Africa, will you give this little child, poor little thing here, and a Christian? Although the doctor says the nerves are severed, it has to be a work of creation. Would you just give her back her perfect soundness, and I'll be a sign between you and I that I must make ready for Africa, not knowing that sailing right then with these veterans that will be here tomorrow night to make arrangements for the African campaign, knowing nothing of it. And when I cut my hand from the little girl, she screamed, Mother, listen here! And she was as perfect and normal as she ever was in her life. And there were some people there from Mary, former church who denies the very existence of the Holy Spirit, great denomination in the world today, would argue with you to drop your head or 5-1 that there was no such a thing as miracles. A great group of those people walked up there one by one, husband and wife, and shook my hand and said, Brother Branham, we have believed in miracles, but this confirms it that God is, called this girl from our neighborhood. And God. And God. Thank you. God still rules and reigns. Oh, we love Him. The law, having a shadow of good things to come. Listen to that. The law having a shadow of good things to come. Now, if we would have to type, which I do much typology. So then the law was a shadow, so all the law could not have been darkness. There has to be a certain percent of light in the darkness to make a shadow. Is that right?
Right.
So many people are quoting the 23rd Psalm. They misquote it by saying, I go through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Now if it was a dark valley, it wouldn't have any shadow. So you see, death itself under the law. So David, death now. Only is a shadow. There's a lot of light in death. Now there's all darkness. My, that would be horrible. But death is just a shadow.
So there has to be light mixed with the darkness to reflect the Father. Isn't it wonderful? No one yet. The struggles in our group. And how many know Brother Bosworth or how the means he had in Chicago? While in Indianapolis, his wife called me and said, Brother Van, your old friend is dying. Said he's got death rattles in his throat all day, and we tried to locate you everywhere. He's under the oxygen tent, unconscious, and he's rattled in his throat all day. I believe he'll be gone before morning. And Brother Van, we want you to preach his funeral. I said, Sister Bosworth, don't speak of that. Let's speak of something else. And we went over and fell on our knees before God and announced it to the church that night, of thousands of people. And the next night, Brother Bosworth called and talked to him on the phone. He said, Brother Bosworth, I'd like to be with you in the table of Bosworth. I don't know. The revival said, maybe we can go in the next couple of years sometime. Oh, I love that courage. No shadow, no negative, it's all positive, that old teacher. He knows right where he's standing. And every reader of the Bible knows that all the death can do is to put a shadow or a spook before you. But it cannot hold you. Christ put forth all those thunders of darkness and freed those that were in paradise. In the shadows and in the positive now, in the presence of God our Father. What a thought, not only a thought, but a truth that God has made manifest through His Word. All the Lord did was foreshadow Jesus Christ. For in Him is the perfection. If I was going from the sun, and there was a sun at my back, it would cast a shadow. I could look at that shadow and pretty well just what I would look at, whether it's a flying fowl or four-footed beast or whatever it would be, it would cast the shadow. And the law only casts the shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus. All the way in the next chapter of Hebrews 11, chapter how Paul speaking there, call back the great heroes of faith, how they escaped the edge of the sword, and the mouth of the lions were closed, and great, wonderful things were done as the people lived under the shadow. And to do all of that by faith, how much more that we will be able to do today when the anti-shadow is here. When Christ has come and fulfilled all the law and has become a real, living, resurrected, glorified Christ in our midst, what kind of a people ought we to be? Why, I believe the time will soon arrive that when healing will be, of miracle healing, will be such a common thing, we've got to get some rapture and faith in the church to go into one of these days. Law having a shadow, how foreshadowed all the things. We could go back, if time would only permit, and get the great things back all through the coming of the Ark of the Flood, how Moses down in Egypt, and many of the great characters, and the changing of the dispensation, how the law, by the word of the law, had supremacy, and how that everything else give away. When God's law spoke over law. Now, if God's word through the law spoke and taken the initiative, how much more ought the Holy Ghost in a human being that's been born again by grace and called of God, how ought to be the power that was behind that word when it was pushed forward by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What ought to be today? The word having such a great effect, knowing that heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And the law was God's spoken, written word. What? It was kept in a separate tin. It was sprinkled on top with blood. Had a crown on top of that to show it was the king's word. And all those shadows, as today, the blood being sprinkled on the believer, where the word of God goes forth, come the believer. And why must such a God as it is when that's sprinkled by a lamb's blood and this sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, our own conscience, from sin and defilement? What a forceful thing the law ought to be. That's where I find the weakness of the full gospel church is not having faith in this wonderful word that they have received.
That's right.
Let's stop here just a moment. Go back. Listen for a few minutes. What that word was. This word that we're reading from this Bible verse was not only in its existence from the pen of St. Paul and Luke, Mark, John. This word that we're reading out of this Bible was spoken before the world ever came into existence.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Only thing they did was just write down what God had already spoke. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let's take a little imaginary trip before the world ever began. You know, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I just take away the curtains and let's look into it just a moment. Then that will give you courage for anything you have need of. As long as you find it written here, just take a hold of it. God will make it right. Think of it. The world as it turns, it was cycle. Eternity. Just eternity is like a perfect circle. It has no corners or no ends. If I started with a perfect circle here tonight, going around and around on this desk, it might cut through the desk, through the floor, through the earth. For billions of years and eons of time to come, it would still be going on a perfect circle. Endless. That's the way that God was in eternity at the beginning. Now, we can't credit Satan to be a creator. He just perverts what God has already created. God created you to be perfect, and Satan perverted you to imperfect. God allows you to be to your wife, a sweetheart, legally married, but to love someone else is to pervert that true love that you should have for your own wife. Satan does that. Your love ought to be to Christ undefiled. But Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it. So then when he perverted good to wrong, and taking the angels with him, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. It come in right here, goes around, goes out right over here. Time, eternity exists right on down through time. Now when Christ saw what Satan had done, when God taught back here at the beginning of time, notice now, while God at the beginning was no wiser or no less wiser than he is tonight, God is infant. You believe it?
Yes.
God is infant. Then he can never change. Now, we get a little smarter as we get older. The whole world gets a little smarter. You used to go to church in a Model T Ford. Tonight you have a V8 in the same thing. Used to be the only way to get across the ocean is an old ship with sails on it. Tonight, a jet plane will take you across. See, we get smarter, but not God. God was perfect at the beginning. He'll be just as perfect at the end. Now, here's what I love. Listen at it now. If God is infinite and perfect, and cannot make a mistake. Are you a follower? If he cannot make a mistake, then the way God acted in the beginning when a crisis arose, he's got to act the same way when the same crisis arrives, or he acted wrong when he acted back then. Is it? Then if God said something, he's got to stay with that in order to be God. Amen. That would make a Methodist religious look. Look at it.
got to keep it. Then, if a crisis arose on earth, like the people dying in the wilderness, and God erected a brass serpent for their healing, because the doctors and so forth was with them, if they had any, could not know of the remedies of Egypt, could not cure their sickness, so God had to act. And if a crisis is wrong today, when we got more sickness in the world ever known, diseases like cancer, heart trouble, that the doctors can't touch, then God's duty bound to act the same way he did then, or he acted wrong when he acted that time. Certainly, common sense would prove that, if it wasn't even written in the Word. He has to be the same. So when God speaks the Word forever, it's part of him. It can no more fail than God can fail. If one word of God can fail, then God's not infant, neither is he omnipotent. He has to take it back, then he becomes a mortal like I am. God. But when he speaks, it's perfect. Amen. Oh, that's what I like. Perfect. And we are perfect with the Word. The law having a shadow of the things to come, and not the very image of the things, those sacrifices which were offered year by year, never make the coming unto you perfect. Jesus in St. Matthew, Gospel said, he is therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How are you going to do it? How can you do it? How can you be as perfect as God is perfect? But that was a commission or a commandment by Jesus Christ to be as perfect as God is in heaven perfect. Then you say, who can be saved? Hold it just a moment. Let's find out how that perfection is made. Now, God back there in the beginning, when he foresaw down through this speak of time, and he knew they would have to have a remedy to save those which were desiring to be saved. Those who hungered to be up there in that realm, he had to make a way to redeem those people back again. If he was infant at the beginning, there never was a flea, frog, fly, or anything else ever come on earth for what he noticed before the world was ever born. Amen. Think of it. He knew you. He knew me. And in order, knowing that our hearts would hunger and thirst after him, he had to make a remedy. His great love and his great power and his great law constrained him to do so. He couldn't do nothing else in order to be God but to make a way. So when he looked down through the stream of time, from this end of the fall here, up to this end of the fall, you know what God did? God did nothing else but speak right then of Jesus Christ coming, his own Son, which he was tabernacle with on earth, came down to, out of the heavens, was made flesh and dwelt among us, redeemed us, went right back up, and sang up here on the other end. And all that great highway that Isaiah saw across the place, across the span of time, Christ is standing at the other end, the receiving end. Yeah, I was illustrating a little something for the kiddies the other night, and was telling about the father of Moses and the mother, and how they was giving the little baby back, committing it back to God who gave it to him. I said, now, if you save your soul, keep it, you're going to lose it. If you give it back to God, you'll keep it. I spoke 5 times in the Bible. Now, I said, if the father and mother of Moses kept him, they would lose it. If you give it back to God, they would keep him. And how that day when they pushed him out in the flags and bulrushes, how God rose from his throne. Great robe drop around him, walked out there and he said, come here, Gabriel, all your angels, come out here. Look down here. I got somebody bleeding. I'll give it to them, and they're giving it back. They can't keep it because the witches in hell will get it.
Them old women going to have brushing their little heads and Jordan fattening up the crocodiles on them. Said if we keep it, they'll kill it. We'll lose it. But if we give it back to God, we'll keep it. And in this little box that you're sailing in tonight, you've got a precious thing in there. It's a soul. If you keep it, you'll lose it. Long keep it, going out the world, and that's the rest of it. You'll lose it. But if you give it back to the one who gave it to you, you'll keep it. Amen. Just believe me. And they put this little baby in the ark and pushed him out. I can hear God say, Gabriel, come in. Call 10,000 angels on marching orders and line them all up and down the Nile. You see that not any crocodile comes near that. And when it gets into a whirlpool, see that it gets out all right. You're going to hit many whirlpools in this life, my brother, but if God has called angels on marching orders to take care of it, don't worry, you can get out of it.
Amen.
Notice, and the little ark was pitched. I can imagine why they put that pot on it. You know, like that on the street? Old crocodile starts sticking his nose up there. What a smell. He backed off. And we watch him all at once. He becomes frustrated. And away he goes. Why? Gabriel sitting up on top of that ark, floating down the river. That's the reason they couldn't touch it. It was being given back to the ones that gave it. And that's where it is tonight. God let these angels have watch over us. The angels of God are intense about. They don't go back and forth. They stay here.
Amen. Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
The angels of God are intense about those who fear him. I hear Gabriel say, but Lord, where are you going to be at all this time?
I'm going to be on the receiving end, down the other end.
He'll be down there to receive it when he gets there. Therefore, he's standing tonight on the receiving end. He is standing on the portals of glory, on the receiving end to receive his children. And someday, when life is over, he'll reach down and wind the end of that highway of holiness around his hand, give it a big pull, and when he does, once he's broke here, he'll lift every saint right back up into that rim of eternity again, and he'll roar to the angels. He's on the receiving end.
What's he scared about? Afraid he won't do it?
Yes, he will. Hey, sure as there's a God of heaven, he'll do it. And he's on the receiving end. Oh, my. Look at it. There, and God stood there. And he said, here's my program. And now, a word, in the beginning was the word. Now, a word is a thought expressed. Now, God was thinking about it. Now, it was just a thought. But when he expressed it, it became a word. And when it's once expressed, he can't take it back. He's got to stay with it. So therefore, the Bible plainly says that Jesus, and someday when life is over, he'll reach down and wind the end of that highway of holiness around his hand, give it a big pull, and when he does, once he's broke here, he'll lift every saint right back up into that rim of eternity again, and he'll roar to the angels. He's on the receiving end.
What's he scared about? Afraid he won't do it?
Yes, he will. Hey, sure as there's a God of heaven, he'll do it. And he's on the receiving end. Oh, my. Look at it. There, and God stood there. And he said, here's my program. And now, a word, in the beginning was the word. Now, a word is a thought expressed. Now, God was thinking about it. Now, it was just a thought. But when he expressed it, it became a word. And when it's once expressed, he can't take it back. He's got to stay with it. So therefore, the Bible plainly says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. For the moment God spoke it, he was slain in heaven at that time. The only thing that had to do is materialize. Only thing you had to do is come out your head. 4,000 years later, before he was ever slain, actually. But when God spoke it, it was so perfect it had to be, and it could be recorded as a document in heaven, because God said so. Had to be. Don't worry, he said, thy feet shall bruise the serpent's head. Now, he said that was Jesus. Let me tell you something. How many Christians here raise up their hands? Born again Christians.
Good, it's all right.
All right. Did you know that the same time he was slain, you was accepted? Did you know that? Well, he said, Brother Ram, I got saved about a week ago. Glory to God, you ain't written down and going, wait a minute. Don't want to be different, but the Bible makes a difference. The Bible said over in the book of Revelation that in the last days that the Antichrist would be very religious. And he'd go around and just like a religious person. And he would deceive all upon the face of the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. From where? The Bible. From the foundation of the world. The same time the Lamb was supposed to be slain and the blood then was appropriated then, your name was associated with it at that same time as put in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only thing you had to do is run out to the time that God calls you by the Holy Ghost, and no man can come to me except my Father calls him, and all comes to me. I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up at the last day.
Which
I twice my size. Say, yeah, there's twice as much. Think of it. That before the world ever was born, when the Lamb's Book of Life was spoke back there, your name was associated with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But you're scared of it. He's up on the receiving end. He's got his angels here watching over us.
Let
an
alligator stick his nose up
and
say he's going to do something.
Yeah.
If you
want to
jump out of the ark, go ahead.
But I'd like to stay right with it. Lord, you said so. This is your word. When you spoke it back then, you spoke my association with it. I'm staying in the word. You said so.
What is the word? The prophet said. The Holy Spirit come down and just spoke the word to the prophet as they wrote it on the book that God spoke before the foundation of the world.
In the beginning was the Word. Even in the Calvary, everything that he ever possessed, Christ took it back to the church and gave it to the church. All that God was, he poured out in Christ, and all Christ was, he poured out in the church.
Amen.
I'm with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ will stand yesterday and forever. Yes.
Oh, church of the living
God, how can you loop over little old things that are so insignificant?
Why don't you put your faith in the Word of the living God
and look at men back there of old, the shadows, like Abraham and them. Call those things which were not as though they were. God said so. When Abraham, back then, the Lord probably asked, man, what's the matter? You're 100 years old. Your wife's 90 and say you're going to have a baby?
Glory to God, yes, sir.
Well, man, you're crazy. But there's something wrong with your head. You better go to the doctor. There's something wrong with you, Abraham. No, it's not. I just got a change of heart.
Was a man 100 years old, his wife 90 today, walks out to the doctor and says, Doc, we want to get the maternity room all fixed up. Wife's going to have a baby. The doctor say, well, I tell you, sir, if you just walk out of the room a few minutes, it'll ring the bell. Doc, come here quickly, bring your handcuffs.
Sure. Because the wisdom of God is foolish to the world, and the wisdom of the world is foolish to God. Amen. But those who can never get anywhere, God got to take God's word and say it's so.
Hey, brother, that'll defeat the devil anyway.
That'll heal every sick person in this building. That'll give everybody here the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's your promise.
Amen. Why, here? If you're here as a real believer, you're sitting here wanting to serve the Lord. God's obligated, you could not have that desire in your heart unless God created it in there.
You used to didn't do that, but God created himself.
Each one of you, maybe there's sick people here. Say, I wish I could be healed, Brother Branham. I've been suffering with stomach trouble for years, or headaches, or something like that. God's here to do that.
That's right.
See, it's not God, it's you. See, he's here to do it. His word is real. If you could just lay hold of it and say, that's true. The reason is, see, the reason that you were saved so easily sometimes when you are healed is because you were elected before the foundation of the world. Your name is put in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's strange. As a son and daughter of God, still hold on you. Oh, when you're out in sin, you kept scratching your head and wondering, you know, I ought to do that. It's something I'll do it a little later. While it rolled around, there you are. Now, healing is included in this. You believe in healing, or you wouldn't come to hear about it.
That's right.
Now, if you could lay a hold on it just the same way you did for your salvation, you'd get the same result. Got me. Now, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, can never make the worshiper perfect. Now, why couldn't it? Because there was nothing there to perfect him with. The law was a shadow. In the Old Testament, when he went to make an offering, the man brought a lamb. He got up there and he confessed his sins, put his hands upon the head of the lamb, and told God that he was sorry for what he'd done, reached up the lamb's throat, jugular vein here, and the little fellow began kicking, bleeding, dying. His hands were bathed all over blood, and he felt the quivering and pain of that little lamb laying there suffering. He kept his eye on him, shaking, suffering, like that, and he thinks, that ought to be me. What a horrible fellow I am. Now what? Then the man went right out of there, not perfect, he couldn't be. Because when he did, he went out of there with the same desire in his heart to go do the same thing that he did when he went in there.
Right.
Still had to say, why do you have the same desire? Because why? The blood cell had been broken, the lamb, which was the shadow of the Lamb of God. Now when that blood cell was broke and bursted open, the life that was in that blood cell, or in the life of the lamb, which consisted of coming from one blood cell, it all come back to one master blood cell, that was from the germ, which was the pollen from the male. And when that blood cell was broken, this life was separated here, the life that was in that blood cell could not come back on the worshiper. No, sir. Because how could an animal without a soul, how could the spirit of a brute come back and coincide with a human spirit? It couldn't do it because it didn't have no soul, it was an animal. Now, but when a worshiper, watch here, in the next chapter here in Hebrews, it says the couple of verses below here. For if the worshiper once heard, would have no more conscience of sin. And he by his own sacrifice has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Perfected for how long? Forever. Then what is the Holy Ghost for you? We've lied to too many things. You Lutherans, oh my. You think because you joined the Lutheran Church is just to live the faith? Luther says we got it, but he found out they didn't. You Methodists, when you got sanctified and shouted and clapped your hands and wrapped down the aisle, you thought you had it, but come find out you didn't. The Pentecostals, when they could speak in tongues or dance in the Spirit, they thought they had it, but found out they didn't. Right. All those things are all right, but that ain't it. It's the person, the Holy Spirit himself, the resurrected Christ. And when you lay your hands by faith upon God's accepted and provided sacrifice, which was absolutely perfect, there's the body of Christ. And out of Adam's side come a rib that made his bride. And out of the side of Christ came the blood, water, spirit for his bride. And how do we get into that body? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're like Abraham. They call those things which were not as though they were, because they are dead to the things of the world, and alive again in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That might have had hasty, going fast, rash, little Sadie and George and Santa Claus.
Yes.
Amen. Notice, the worshiper, once heard, has no more desire of sin. No more conscience. The word conscience is desire. Look and see if that ain't right. Conscience is what's in it, in there, making the desire.
Your conscience is to do it, and your conscience is not to do it. It's your desire. So then, if the worshipers under the law could not be purged because that the lamb was only a shadow, and he went away with the same desire, yet it was speaking correctly to the right lamb coming. And then when God sent his lamb, and he died, and the worshiper then coming, putting his hands by faith upon the bleeding lock of the Lord Jesus, and can in your heart appreciate that he was the only thing that could ever come and redeem us, and you'd be lost and gone to hell, and then to appreciate his love for you when you were unlovable, appreciate his foreknowledge of you that you'd have the heart to do it, and appreciate his leading of the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place of acceptance, and you lay your hands upon him by faith and renounce your own life as a sinner and accept his life instead, the blood of Jesus Christ then cleanses you. And the life that was in the bloodshed of Christ, which was none other than God himself, the Holy Spirit, comes back into your life and coincides with your body, and you act and walk a Christian life to reveal you in the world.
Amen.
And the devil couldn't touch you if he had to.
Right.
Amen. Every promise in the book is yours then.
Amen.
He said to it. Why? The blood cell. Where did it originate? Where did it originate in the lamb? The little sheep. What is it? From the male sheep. It was a sexual desire. It was sinful. After the God had pronounced this, he made it a permissive. But never the perfect. God made man out of dust and breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. But then tampering, women become that instrument to bring life, and that season has to go back. The body, the soul then must be taken to the first to originate the beginning of a new life. Did you realize that? Now, the lamb, when its life broke at the place where it was sacrificed, the worshiper with his hands ready and realizing he was a sinner, was a shadow under the Calvary, but the worshiper could not be made perfect because by the life that come out of the lamb, he could not be taken back in the lamb's body because he was a human. The lamb was had a different nature. Its nature was different. Now, if the lamb's life could come back to the worshiper, he'd go back out and eat grass and act like a lamb. Because he was a brute. So he cannot be made perfect. But in this place, where the worshiper is purged from his sins, the very life that was in that body comes back and baptizes this individual into the Holy Spirit. And this lamb was not born with sexual desire. When that original blood cell started, God Almighty created it in the wombs of Mary.
Yes,
no man had nothing to do with it. And that one blood cell where God brought himself down and come into this blood cell and forgot out a body called Christ and come in the fullness of the Spirit and live in him, then when that blood cell was broke down for sin, every man coming to Christ and purged by that blood has no more conscience of sin and perfectly anchored in Christ until the dead of new redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, breathe not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Amen. Boy, that makes the devil go. When the believer realizes where he is. What is it? What is it? Oh, it's no good to me, brother. That's right. I never was any good, neither was you. There's nothing we can do about it. That's the good part of it. But when you can just recognize that, that you're no good, then you're not trusting your own goodness. If there's one thing you could do to Mary, you'd have something to brag about. Lord, I've sought you day and night, but you can't say that to him. He said, no man can come to me except my Father is broken, and God seeks man and not man seeking God. So you don't have one thing to say, but God, it was your grace that did it.
Right.
And then as long as you're accepted into the beloved, how can God bring you into judgment when he's already judged Christ in your sin?
Right.
How could you have to suffer for your sins when Christ has already done? That'd be a two-timer and an awful person. That's right. When it was thoroughly saved by Jesus Christ and you accepted it, and as long as God accepted Christ, he accepted you with Christ. And when did he do it? Before the foundation. dispensation of the law, when he spoke it into existence, he spoke you redeemed with him. And your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And then you're saved.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could just keep holding on. I quit that a long time ago. I never did even try in the first place. I just turned loose and let him do the whole thing. Someone said when I was sick that time, when y'all always said, "Brother Van, did you keep your religion during the 6 hours?" I said, "No, sir, it kept me."
That's the difference.
And that's what happened. When God brought an Israelite in, Abraham believed God, talking to a very outstanding one of the greatest Christian leaders in the world today, one of the greatest. Pastor Jose and I were in the room the other day, speaking on that. See, it's not what we did. It's what Christ did. It isn't what I'm going to do. It's what he's already done. I know I'm no good. Never was. Never will be. But then in the presence of God, I'm absolutely perfect because it's not me. He never sees me. He sees Christ. I'm in Christ. And my name is associated with him at the foundation of the world. I'm just waiting for the cord to be drawn up. And we'll go some of these blessed days to meet him in the end. Someone said, "Brother Branham, you pray, you know, many times, way back when I was a little boy preacher, all the people used to come out and say, 'Brother Branham, why, if that be so, well, then I can just do anything I want to.'" I said, "That's right.
Sure.
Do anything you want to. If the evil's in your heart, then you've never been to Calvary. That's one thing. You should always do what I want to. God lets me do what I want to, and I'm so glad of it. If I did what the devil wanted me to do, it's hard to tell what I would do, but if I do what I wanted to do, like I did before I was saved. But now there's a new spirit in there. It's not the spirit of a lamb, it is the spirit of William Branham. It's the spirit of Jesus Christ that makes me love the unlovable and makes me do things I thought I never would do. It's him. Well, if it was me, you know what I said tonight? I'd call up Mr. Bozay and say, "Hey, boy, look, I've been up for 2 nights. I had a bit of sleep. I slept about 2 hours in the last 2 nights. Going, coming in. People at the door and everything else away in the night and try to lay down a few minutes and get you up again. That's broken and that goes away. Here's another." Sure, I'd stay home. But there was something in me. That was me. Said you're supposed to be in Chicago tonight. And it was 12:30 at home. About 280 miles to drive through that traffic. I said, "Lord, I'm going. You help me." And he did. I got just in time. I was here. See, there's something in you. Though there is therefore now no condemnation, can't be, to those that are in Christ, for they don't walk after the lust of the flesh, they walk after the spirit.
Amen.
And if you love the Lord, you want to do everything you can to please him. Well, let's take it this way, short term. If the unlearned would understand, if you love your wife right, "I love my wife real good." Well, why do you say, what's such a thing? If some other woman has come up and say, "Billy, I love you too," and she'd be a real pretty girl and say, "I love you." Well, she won't do it, but if she would, see. You know what I tell her? I say, "Look, sister, kneel down here and I'll play with you a little bit." Why? Well, you say, "Bill, you're in Africa, Asia, somewhere. Your wife will never know it." That might be true. And if she never did know it, I know it. See? I would know it. And another thing, if I love her the right way, you say, "Well, she loves you so much, she'd forgive you." That may be so too. But I love her too much to do it. See? That's great. Not nothing I've done, but it's just my love for her. And that's what our love is to Christ when we've been born again and realize that we're sons and daughters of God. It ain't me who has to do this and has to cause that all things to be lawful, but not all expedient. So it isn't some law that I have to preach the gospel. It isn't some law that I have to do this.
Oh.
It's because I love him so much.
Hey.
I just love to do it. And if you love him like that, as long as I love my wife like that, she don't have to never weary. As long as she loves me like that, she don't have to weary. We don't go around one another and ask and say, "Now, listen here, Mr. Branham. Tell you something right now. You're going away on this trip. I'm going to lay the law right down to you. Don't you run around on me, young man. Don't you do that." Well, if you see just kind of laying down the law, then I turn back and I say, "Now, my fair lady, let me tell you something. While I'm gone, don't you have to worry about me. Don't you do this and don't you do that." Well, we don't say that. Sure, I just love her so much and I trust her then. And she just loves me so much in the same way. So we, as I say, goodbye, sweetheart. Be praying for me. All right, dear. I'll be praying for you all the time. Hurry back. All right, that's all of it. See? You ain't got no big well. You have to come and be just the way it's sprinkled and confirmed and brought to this and that and these and that and all these different orders and things like that. If you don't dance with your feet crossed this way, you ain't right. You have to dance with your feet crossed this way. A young lady come to me here some time ago when women wore those skirts that they call sandal skirts. And she come to me and she said, "Brother, I want to ask you something." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, sister." She said, "Do you think it's wrong for a Christian girl to wear sandal skirts? Do you think I said, "What in the world does a Christian girl need with a sandal skirt? If she's a Christian, she'll be so far away from that thing. And so, why, it'll be as dead sure as her love is for Christ and not to be a scandaler." Right. That scorches the shorts, don't it? That's right! If you love the Lord, you'd be doing something else besides that. I ain't preach all the liberation of women or men, what you want to, but that'll never change the Bible.
That's right.
God's word is true. That's for you Pentecostal people, too. Yes, sir. Oh, you lay on the bar some way, something happened. Used to be it wasn't the way it is now. It's just because of the weakness of the pulpit. It's just because you got mixed up in things. If the Holy Ghost taught you better back then, your mammy and everything, and then you start doing this today, the Holy Ghost don't change. It's just the same every time, every time, every time. You know why I'm beginning to think that a lot of times people get one of those ghosts instead of the Holy Ghost? You watch them the way they act. You go into a church where the pastor is kind of a flighty, wildfire, up and overnight, watch the congregation do the same thing. Brother, I'm telling you, if you do get down and pray to God until that real Christian spirit moves in your heart and settles all problems. You know, the Bible said there'd be a famine in the last days, not for bread and water alone, but for hearing of the Word of God. That's right. And that's the truth that can be, friend. It's a shame. We'll never make the worshiper far than they would not have ceased to be offered. But because that the worshiper once heard should have no more conscience of sin. It's all gone. Now, the worshiper once heard. How does it do? When the life of the sacrifice comes back to the worshiper, then it's meekness, patience, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith. See what I mean? Now, what did we Methodists do? We wanted to shout and get it. What do we Pentecost? We want to do? We want to speak in tongues and get it. But that's not it. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, patience, meekness. There's not one visible evidence of it, not one fleshly. It's all in the supernatural realm. Right. It's the hidden force that's in you. The life of Jesus Christ coming back on you, the worshiper, as you laid your hands upon his head and confessed that you was wrong. Now look. A good Baptist brother said the other day, he said, "Brother Branham," not the other day, it's been a couple of years ago. He said, "What, didn't Abraham believe God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness?" I said, "That's right." "So what more can any man do but believe God? What more can he do but to have faith?" I said, "That's all he can do. That's all Abraham done. But God gave Abraham the seal of circumcision as a confirmation that he had received these things." And I said, "Then when all the other things pass away, everything becomes new. When you make your confession and believe and accept the Lord Jesus, and you become meekness, patience, gentle, and faith, and to believe God, believe divine healing, believe the whole Bible, believe everything that God says, then that's the evidence that you've been saved. God has circumcised your heart and taken away all your unbelief, and you believe in God then." What is the word sin? Sin is unbelief. Jesus said in St. John the 4th chapter, "He that believeth not is condemned already." You don't have to do anything, you're condemned already. Now, drinking, committing adultery, that's not sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever.
Right.
You're an unbeliever to begin with. Right. That's the reason you do those things. Now, if you want to get right with Christ, those things are just they're circumcised at the altar. When you confess it, God just takes it away. That's the life of himself in you.
Right.
And then you're in Christ and you can't come to judgment. Jesus said in St. John 5:24, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him and sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into judgment." But it's already passed from death unto life. He can't bring you to judgment. You're already judged. And when the Holy Spirit comes back to make you live this different life, it's God's seal of his circumcision on your heart to prove that you've been stopped your drinking, smoking, gambling, cursing, unbelieving, and not believing in the Bible, healing the works of God, and has received God. And it's a seal that everybody knows about it now. You once come in the house like, oh my, angry and tick over something, and oh my, how you carry on. That's the old man that got converted one time, he said he got saved. I don't think it's for a joke, I'm just saying so, I don't believe in joking. But you might see what I mean. He come up the road, and he was saying he used to curse and carry on and hoop and holler. He went to a little meeting and got really saved. He come back up the road saying, Jesus, keep me near the cross. When he got close to the door, he said, the old hound looked over there and said to the old cat in the corner, said, listen to that, would you? He always kicked him off the porch and everything, said, I bet he hasn't got it. Said the cat, you lay here and I'll lay here, we'll see if he's got it or not. When he got so close, he couldn't stand it anymore. So out of the house went the dog, and around the house went the old cat. He went back out and went out to the barn. He always knocked the chickens around and beat everything up. Get the bell in. So the old rooster said, he used to get so mad at me when I crowed to get it up for him, I'll sign out. So he let out a great big crow and flew. He couldn't stand it no more. The old cow said, now I'm in an awful fix. He got me to the hall room and tied me around a post. Now I have to stand it. All the fowls and things set around said, try him out. Said, only thing you have to do is switch him in the tail, with the tail right across the face, and that's what happened. Said, well, see if he's got religion or not. Old cow thought it was hard to do. But he's in the stand saying, Jesus, keep me near the cross, just from joking away. The old cow tucked her tail like this, and she slapped him in the face like that. He patted her on back and said, Bobby, dear, your old soul. He said, bless the Lord, you didn't mean to do that. They all said, he's really God. Now that's right. That's what the evidence is, brother. You pass from death unto life. And all the things that you once done passed away because the life of Jesus Christ has kept your spirit into control and you're a new creature. And once purged has no more desire to sin as long as you live on earth. So if you're constantly weakling, falling up and down, you never, you might have a mental exception of it, but never an experience of being born again. When meekness, gentleness, and patience take the place of this mental theology. Oh, you say, listen here, Mr. Branham. I study the Bible. Our pastor and so forth, I study Bible lessons. Yes, the devil has seen. He knows more about it than you'll ever know. That's right. But there's one thing, he can't get the Holy Ghost. You can. That's right. So as long as if he can't get to you, for you are dead, your life is hid in God and sealed by the Holy Ghost. How can you ever get you? The first thing, you're dead. You hear a dead man tell a lie? You hear a dead man fuss back at you, sent the cast and fuss at him all night, you never say a word. Why, he's dead. And you reckon yourself dead and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. The only way the devil could ever get you, it has to come through the same washings that you came through and receive the same spirit you did, and then he'd be your brother. See? So he can't get you. It's you that's never come to Christ right in the first place. You get to the place and say, well, I still, Brother Brennan, the Lord never did sanctify me from this. If he sanctified you from one thing, he sanctified you from all of it. He takes your whole soul, body, and spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Don't be deceived, brother. The man who despised Moses' law died without mercy under one or two witnesses. How much more so punish the whole world who trod the blood of Jesus Christ under his feet and cried the covenant world with his sanctified with an unholy thing to them despite the works of grace? There you are. The Bible said it's impossible for that man to do that. If a man once been enlightened and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and taste of the power of the new world to come, it's impossible for him to fall away to redeem himself again into repentance. So if you're constantly on the up and down, remember, brother, you have never correctly ever come to Jesus Christ yet. If the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, and if you love the world, the love of God's not even in you. you're only emotionally, mentally worked up with some kind of Christianity, some kind of theology's been taught you, and never in your life have you ever come face to face and met Jesus Christ and been born again.
Amen.
For if you once fall in love with Christ, the world bows at them for eternity.
Amen.
For you're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of your redemption and your death, and your life is hidden in God through Christ and sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Your destination is determined right then when you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Take an old freight car when they load it, as you send this foot in it and that foot in it, or the car might be created for a human being. Get this, would jump up and down the track, say, hey, look where I am. You're not gone yet, boy. Before the Holy Ghost has ever put up here on you, before the seal's ever sealed that car for its destination, the inspector comes down. He looks the whole thing over. He examines and sees everything fit and tight. The trouble of it is today we've had in our Pentecostal churches too much overhead religion.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Instead of coming back to the old-fashioned blood-washed gospel of Christ.
Right?
We have too much emotion, too much mental input, and psychic emotions instead of being really settled down in space. Because you can watch it when the Holy Spirit comes in the meetings and presses the word that people don't know how to receive it. If that tunnel was open, the Holy Ghost would run right to it just as quick. That water is keeping its way through a crack in the dirt. Amen. You believe that?
Right.
What we need today is a good old-fashioned breaking up. That's a prophet going down through the potter's house to be broke up and remolded. That's what the Pentecostal full gospel church needs today is a good old-fashioned breaking up. Coming back to be remolded again. Do you believe that?
Right.
Let us pray then as we bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, just seems so good to stand here in the Philadelphia church and feel the response of the Spirit and know that the Word is sinking deep into the people's hearts, to realize that they're receiving Him. And it's life to them. Oh, how they love it. And it just feeds my soul to see the people respond to this Word, though I have not the ability to put it out the way that it should be. But Father, I pray that it'll help somebody. That the person who's weak knees, just stumble along. Lift up those weak and feeble knees. Straighten up those hands that hung down. May they be lifted up and rejoice because there's no need of us living a defeated life. Go on.